It's a great passage to speak on this morning. And I got some slides prepared this morning. And I want to ask you the question, what is the source of the church's power? What drives the church? What's behind the church of power? We'll have a slide now. Is this the source of church's power? Magnificent buildings. And if some of you are in history, you will know that's the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. A magnificent church, a beautiful church. But then right in the center, you'll find Arabic words. Can you see that? Those are Arabic words. Can you see those Arabic words? Yeah. It was supposed to represent the glory of Christendom. But what happened was, it fell to the Muslim Turks. It was converted into a mosque, and sold those Arabic words from the Quran. The source of church's power is not magnificent buildings. That's again the Hagia Sophia, an artist's impression. Is the source of church's power great armies? Armies who went to war, thousands of them, to so-called proclaim the Christian message with the sword and shield. Or is it gold and silver? Is gold and silver the source of church's power? We are going to look at this passage and find out what actually drives the church. What is the inspiration? What is the power behind the church? Look at the passage itself. Peter goes into this place called a beautiful gate. He sees this man, crippled, begging. Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but I have something that I want to give to you. Something that is superior to silver and gold. Something that will change your life. Something that will set you free. I don't have silver and gold, but I'm going to give you something more," he said. And he says, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." Peter gave something that he had that was with him. That was the name of Jesus. And what happened was, when he said the name of Jesus and said, "Get up and walk," the Bible tells us the crippled man got up and walked, and he was healed. And what happened next was, he went around shouting and screaming and proclaiming Christ. He was praising God and proclaiming in the temple. And people heard him. See, Peter had Jesus, the living glorified Savior, abiding in him. And through the promise of the Spirit of God, the man was healed. It was not gold or silver that healed the man. It was not the armies of the world that healed the man. It was not magnificent buildings that healed the man. But the source of power, Jesus Christ, healed the man. It gave him something that all those other things could not give him. And Peter had that. Therefore, he gave that man the name of Jesus, the healing that Jesus' name brought. And he was healed. It is said that Thomas Aquinas, the Roman Catholic theologian, went to see Pope Innocent VI. He saw the massive amount of gold and silver on the plates in Rome. And Pope Innocent said to Thomas Aquinas, "Thomas, we cannot say we don't have silver and gold like Peter did. And Thomas replied, "Neither can we say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." We cannot say, we cannot say, as Pope Innocent said, we cannot say we don't have silver and gold, because silver and gold has replaced the name of Jesus in many churches. Silver and gold has replaced Jesus Christ as the source of power. Now, it's a great story of healing. A lot of us will read that and say, yes, God has healed that man. How many of you have experienced healing in your own life? Can I see a show of hands? Yes, yes, many of you experience healing in your own life. And I've experienced healing in my life. God has done great things for us. But for me, the crux of this passage was the healing is a wonderful event. I praise God, like that man was healed. But what happens next is, I think, is much more fantastic. What happened next was Peter began to speak. He began to take this opportunity to proclaim Jesus. Take a look at this slide. Sorry, next one. Yeah. I like this picture because I thought it captured what was going on at the moment when the man was healed. You see, there were a lot of people there, and they all were looking at this man being healed, as this beggar got up, crippled man got up and started running around. The people say, "That's a beggar that was lying on the floor in that over the gate. That was the beggar, was crippled. That was the beggar who couldn't walk." Or he might have had a name. "That was Zacchaeus," or "That was Matthias. That's a beggar, and this beggar is now running around that beautiful gate." And the people are looking at that event, the power of Jesus being manifested. And Peter took this golden opportunity and said, "You know how this happened? It is because of Jesus." And now, that is a fantastic proclamation. Because it was not just about healing, but it was an opportunity to proclaim and witness Jesus. The main event for me was not the healing, but that it was an opportunity to proclaim and witness Jesus. Going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 24. After the coming of the Holy Spirit descended upon the people. They all began to speak in tongues, and there was like hundreds of people there in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came, and people were just going off. It was a massive celebration. It was noisy, and it was just praising of God, and all that was happening. And then the people were there who were not the followers of Jesus came around and said, "What was this commotion about? Why are these people speaking in strange tongues, in the language of Hebrew or Chinese or Hindi? Why? It sounds like that." And what did Peter do? He took that opportunity to speak about Jesus. And when this man was healed, what did Jesus do? What did Peter do? He took this opportunity to witness Jesus. He proclaimed the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Look through the Bible. Healing happens. Miracle happens. Demons driven out of man or woman. What happens next? Is that the end of the story? No. There's always proclamation about God, about Jesus. The source of church's power is Jesus Christ through the fulfilling the promise of the coming of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I will go and send you a comforter. The Spirit of truth will come. But what will the Spirit do? He will witness of me. In the name of Jesus, that man was healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what? Why was that? It was because to witness Jesus. To witness the name of Jesus. And that's what Peter did. Use that opportunity to witness Jesus. The church derives its power source from Jesus. It's built on Jesus. It manifests Jesus. It cannot but proclaim Jesus. This is an inseparable truth. A church cannot claim that it's a church of power built on Jesus Christ if it does not proclaim or witness Jesus. It has to. It has to. We say we are filled in the Spirit. We say we are a church of power. We live in Jesus Christ. We cannot but witness Jesus. If someone said, I believe in Jesus, I'm filled with the Spirit, but I do not want to share about Jesus nor witness Him, there is something really wrong. Because Acts 1:8 says, you'll be witnesses of me. You'll be witnesses. Jesus keeps on saying, you'll be witnesses of me, what I've done. Many years ago, I was in Malaysia. I was doing my last year of theology under the Anglican Church in Malaysia, and they sent me to a church to work for 3 months. 2 months. And we were in this village somewhere out of this world, I guess, because it was very difficult to reach that village. It had no proper roads, and it was a hard time for me because I came from the city, and I was like transported to another world in the village in Malaysia. We finished our whatever we need to do for the day, and at around 11, as we were getting ready to sleep, there was a call. Someone called from the village and said, something's happening, please come. And we rushed to the village. Now, most of the people in the village were not Christians. So we went to this home, and we saw this strange sight, a woman writhing like a snake on the floor. And the husband was standing beside her and saying, what's happening? What's happening? I don't know what's happening to my wife. And she was like going like a snake on the floor. And we realized it was a demonic manifestation. So me and my pastor prayed. By the time there was crowd outside the house, inside the house, they were curious to know what was happening. And I looked at this woman and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And that very moment, she just gasped and stopped breathing. And she got up, looking a bit dazed. But all right. But we didn't stop there. We praise God. God did something. God intervened and got this demon out. But we took the opportunity to proclaim Jesus. We shared Jesus with the people in the house and also with the villagers. And a few years back, I went to the when I was in Malaysia, I went to the village, and the man is now an elder in the church. The great thing was not the deliverance, but the greater thing that he became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle, the deliverance, was part of the proclamation message. Today I want to ask you, are you proclaiming Jesus in your life? When did you last experience the work of God in your life and were able to testify about it? If you are the church of power, you'll be continuously in this Christ event, living in Him, experiencing Him, testifying of Him, witnessing Him. When did that last happen in your life? Are you saying 20 years ago something happened? That's about it. What about last week? What about last month? You are the same church of power. It's different. 2,000 years ago, the setup was different, but you're still part of the church. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How is your walk with Jesus today? Are you experiencing Jesus? Or is it just an old memory of something that happened long ago during the Billy Graham crusade? You are the church of power. Come and take your rightful place as children of power. In Jesus' name, Amen.